Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Bauer. It's time to say goodbye to sacrificing your well-being on the way to success. As an entrepreneur in wellness, integrative medicine fellow, university lecturer, longtime physician assistant, experienced in integrative psychiatry and functional medicine, and a keynote speaker, I have a lot of experience and expertise to share. So get ready to optimize your well-being and move in the direction of your dreams. Help spread this valuable and powerful message by sharing the podcast with your friends, family, and community. Together, we can make a profound impact on the world. Now for a quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are purely the opinions of the author. They are not intended to provide medical advice or treatment recommendations, and the contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Please always seek the guidance of your physician or other qualified healthcare professional. And if you have any questions regarding your specific health, changes to diet and exercise, and any medical conditions. I'm so excited. We have a fantastic guest today, Mark Metry. Mark is a Forbes featured TEDx keynote speaker. He's on Amazon Prime's docuseries, The Social Movement, and he's the podcast host of the Global Top 100 Humans 2.0 podcast, interviewing billionaires, New York Times bestselling authors, and world-class human beings. Mark has faced many different struggles in his past, including autoimmune-based health issues during childhood and adolescence. He's endured severe social anxiety and depression, but has been able to overcome it. And he's the author of Screw Being Shy, How to Eliminate Social Anxiety. Mark is the founder of Growcasts, a podcast acceleration network, and he routinely consults and educates Fortune 500 companies, conscious organizations, entrepreneurs, and startups on podcasting, company communication, marketing, and authentic branding. So thank you so much for being here, Mark. I'm really excited.
Crystal, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I'm super excited to be on this podcast. I know you've been working really hard to build this platform and having great people. So I'm glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, well, you know, you have helped me a little bit. So I've actually tweaked a couple of things since I chatted with you. Because for everybody listening, you know, I talked with Mark a little bit about my show and he gave me some really great tips. So I've been able to get to know him a little bit, and he's just a remarkable individual doing some incredible things. And you're super young. Like, I'm just so impressed with how much you've accomplished. How old are you, if you don't mind?
23.
Are you serious? Oh my God. Yeah. Like, if I couldn't even imagine having done all the things that you've been doing at, you know, at 23 years old. It's absolutely incredible. Now, were you,
thank you,
did you have like this drive just innately?
No, not at all. I mean, I'm sure I did maybe a little bit, but you know, to me, the way that I think about it is, you know, talking to just like a lot of my friends, a lot of, you know, a lot of older people than myself, you know, I've just learned that you basically just are born and then you just live your life based on how you think you should live it. And then you basically just go until basically something breaks, whether that's in your health, whether that's your mental health, whether that's something in your life where you're like, oh crap, I gotta maybe change gears here. I gotta change paths. And so, you know, I just think that to be honest with you, I just didn't have like the natural resilience that most people had. So I feel like a lot of my body, a lot of my mind broke earlier. So then that got me early on thinking like, man, I really have to switch paths. And so, you know, I've been on this journey over the last like 5 years of just, you know, trying to find myself, trying to create myself, trying to focus on my mental, physical health, you know, being an entrepreneur, trying to create things. And so, yeah, it's been quite interesting, but I definitely think it comes from, you know, experiencing a problem and then being able to shift it no matter what your age is. And I think some people don't experience that until they're 25, 30, 35, 40. And so I'm grateful that I was able to experience something like this, at least early in my life.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. It's like with struggle and with challenges, that's where a lot of us have the most growth. And I, like looking back at myself, I definitely, my physical aspect of things, I started to become more aware about my physical health and all that when I wanted to get pregnant. And that was like my big thing for physical health. And then mental health and spirituality, you know, that all for me came to the forefront after my mom's diagnosis of cancer about 4.5 years ago. But it is those, like for me, those big life events, which brought to the forefront, you know, maybe some things I needed to work on and self-discovery and growth. But you are, you know, I guess in some ways very fortunate to have gained all this wisdom at such a young age. And you know, you have had a lot of struggles in your past,
And one of the things that I really respect a lot is your sense of just being open with people, and you're not afraid to be vulnerable, which I think is really powerful. So I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about your experiences with, you know, anxiety and depression, and then how, what like steps, initial steps you took to overcome it.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is for me, basically from ages 8 until 18, every moment of my life was basically like, Mark, don't be vulnerable. Mark, don't be vulnerable. Run, don't show yourself, hide. And so that's led me to understanding, I think, the real consequences of not showing up as yourself, of not being vulnerable, as not being authentic. And so I think for me now, that's just like all I can be, because I've lived a life where I feel like I was the opposite of that. I was super fake. And so the pain of that I experienced, and, you know, I remember experiencing social anxiety my entire life. And then, you know, at around age 18, going off to college and, you know, falling into a lot of unhealthy patterns that led me to, at one point being very overweight, to me being depressed, to me socially isolating myself, to me flirting with suicide. And so I think all these things just really taught me the cost, the sort of opportunity cost, so to speak, of not being yourself. And so, you know, in terms of tips, in terms of things that I would share for anyone else who's struggling with it, you know, I think it's really important to just take stock of your life. And I think there's a lot of ways to do that. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, they look at their life from the perspective of maybe like, you know, how much money they're making, you know, do they have any good relationships? All these things are great. But I think the most important thing that we need to take stock over is sort of life itself. And if you could break that down, so it's not super complicated, into like four sections, I would divide it into, you know, I think there's sort of like a physical layer of reality. I think there's an emotional layer. I think there's a mental layer, and I think there's a spiritual layer. And I think depending on who's listening to this, you may have sort of a big issue in either layer that may be causing some kind of a malfunction. And so, you know, personally for me, I think a big reason why I had a lot of, you know, problems dealing with my own mind and my health was because of the fact that I was just never taught the basics of like being healthy. I was never taught anything about, you know, nutrition, anything about exercise, anything about the power of sleep. And so, you know, that for me was a major issue in terms of sort of my emotional and my mental layers of life. You know, I had never been taught how to calm and relax my mind. I had never been taught how to train my mind with different things like meditation. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of my emotions, you know, throughout my entire life, I think as a lot of people in general, but I think a lot of guys are just sort of told to not show emotions, to just ignore them, try to control them, try to shut them down. And I think that can be quite detrimental. And then I think all of that sort of relates to, you know, who you are, I think, past this life at a more spiritual realm, you know, regardless of what like each person's awareness and beliefs are. So I think the most important thing is just like taking stock and being like, okay, like how is my physical health? How is my mental health? How is my emotional health? How is like my spiritual health in terms of, you know, my purpose and like how I'm spending my time. And so I think that's the most important thing to do. And I think, you know, that's very hard to do because a lot of us have all these routines and, you know, even now, you know, a lot of us are, you know, maybe living in like a half quarantine world. And so I think that the big sort of root of that is just like the ability to sit down by yourself, mm-hmm. and work on yourself. And I think a lot of us don't get there because we just like, we don't think it's worth it. And I think a big reason why we think that is because I think deep down, we don't think that we are worth it. And so I think the biggest thing is just realizing that you should just start investing in yourself, you know, realizing that you're not this person who's sort of innately flawed, this person who, you know, maybe experiences problems or anxieties and, you know, a lot of people hold shame around those things, but more of us of like looking at yourself of a person of just like, you know, you're a human being on this planet. and there's certain forces that are sort of beyond you. And it's important to be realistic about that and then put in a plan to manage it so that we can sort of operate in the best in the world based on, you know, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. And so, yeah, you know, we all have different maybe weaknesses, strengths in all those different departments. But I think just sitting down with yourself and looking at that, taking stock is a major thing that, you know, unfortunately sounds a little bit too simple, which most people would probably disregard, like, ah, that's not going to work. But it's the simple things that I think are really overlooked that if most people did, we would be much better off.
Mm-hmm. I think developing a relationship with yourself is so important. And, you know, you talked about that, and I know actually growing up and in high school and in college, it was all about being around other people and really developing relationships with others. And for me, I remember like wanting to look cool, wanting to fit in, wanting other people to like me. So it was always about outside of myself. And as I've grown and developed and I guess become more self-aware, it's really been more about developing that relationship with myself and tuning into myself, having more time to reflect and to meditate and to spend time in nature. And because before that, it's interesting, I never really started to ask myself the question, like, what's my purpose? What, you know, to self-reflect. And I think I kind of just was doing what was expected of me, you know, what the world was telling me to do, or, you know, and it really took me having quite a long meditation practice and doing a lot of the work and counseling and just all sorts of stuff to really figure out who I am, I guess. And it's always evolving, right? But what's important to me. And I think a lot of people are afraid to go there. There's this like level of fear of like being alone with your thoughts, or, you know, I hear that a lot, like, oh, it's my mind races. And it's like, people are afraid of that. And I think you have to kind of embrace it and build that relationship with yourself and, you know, meditation, mindfulness practices. I know you're passionate about all that stuff.
Yeah, no, 100%. And, you know, the biggest thing that I would say is, people like invite me on, like I've been a guest on like over like 250 podcasts, and people invite me and they think I'm like some like 23-year-old, you know, like Yoda, you know, like master. And like the reality is that, like, you know, even to this day, you know, it's still so hard to do these things. And I think the biggest thing is just like your willingness to be able to get up and do it. And when I say that out loud, I think the biggest thing that has to do with that is just like, I feel like I don't necessarily have a choice from the perspective of like, now that my mind has been stretched to this sort of perspective on life, you know, for me, it's like, there's no way that, I can give up on myself, because I know at the end of the day, literally no matter what happens, like worst case scenario in life, the only person that I'm going to have is myself. Mm-hmm. So if I know I'm going to be sort of stuck with that person, I'm definitely going to work on that relationship. And so I think that's like the most important thing that I've learned. And yeah, you know, for me, I remember discovering meditation, and I remember the first 2 weeks of meditating, it was probably the worst, like the worst time of my life. And it's not even the fact that I had like a problem meditating. It was definitely a little bit hard to like sit down and meditate. But the biggest thing was, I literally felt like my entire life was changing. All of my ideas, all of my beliefs, all the assumptions that I had were changing. And that can be very scary. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just like the ability to sit down with yourself and whether that's meditate, whether that's journal, whether that's invest your time, that's so important. And, you know, the biggest thing for me is just like, I think the more you create things, the more you learn about yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I think no matter where you are on your journey, whether you are just starting off or you're advanced, I think the more you create things, consciously creating things, I think that's where you learn more about yourself. Because every time you create something, you know, some of that comes from within you. You have to take from within you and put it in the world. And every time you do that, you just learn a little bit more. And for me, you know, I know where the days where I feel like even though I may I may have accomplished a lot on that day, mm-hmm. or maybe like objectively a successful day, but I didn't create anything. It feels like that sort of relationship with myself is a little bit distant, sort of, so to speak. And so I think for me, it's like, I think creating something each day, and that could be whatever, you know, for me, like I define creating as, you know, I think like writing something is creating. I think cooking something is creating. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, like building something, testing something out. I think all these things are creating, all these things where you get to sort of personally input something. And I think as much as I can create things, then I think I'll be more happier and I'll know myself more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, it's a reiterative process. And I think the most important thing is, like, you know, I think some people, they work on themselves and they work on this relationship with themselves. Like it's like a side hustle. And I think the biggest thing is just realizing that your relationship with yourself and the work on yourself, that should really be like your main hustle. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of times we get caught into thinking, you know, these thought patterns of, oh, you know, I don't have time to meditate, or I don't have time to exercise, or, you know, I can't do this right now. I have to go work on something. And something to me that I always come back to is like, what's the point of me working? What's the point of me meditating? I mean, excuse me, making money. What's the point of me doing all these things if I can't even sit down with myself and meditate for 15, 20 minutes? Or if I can't even, you know, sort of do these things that I know at the end of the day will make me feel happier and more myself. And so I think that is definitely the biggest thing that I've found. And so it's like, you know, creating and also just having that practice with yourself will go along. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, those are all really great insights. I think a big part of that is just adding more love into your relationship with yourself. You know, I think a lot of people think about self-love and it's like, it's a little bit uncomfortable, I think, sometimes for people, like to say, you know, I really love myself. And it's something I think that needs to be developed for a lot of people. And there's a lot of, like you mentioned, a lot of people have guilt and shame and regrets, and that's things that can be all consuming. Mm. So developing that relationship of self-love and forgiveness, it can be a process, but I think that's so important to really have a fulfilling, happy, and healthy life. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about feeling insecure, because you've dealt with anxiety and social anxiety. I've had anxiety here and there. And, you know, I think when you get to a certain place in your life, like, you know, you're a speaker, I'm a speaker, you're doing certain things. Sometimes people assume that just doesn't happen anymore, you know, that it's like you're confident all the time. And I know that's not the case for me. I don't know if that's the case for you, but I'm hoping you might be able to share a little bit about how, you know, to deal
I'm
with
swimming it. In it.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm swimming in it all the time. And I think there's a right and wrong way to interpret that. But I want to address something you said before. And I, you know, a lot of people asked me, they said, you know, how do you work on yourself? How do you do self-development? You can't do self-development unless you love yourself, unless you have self-love. You can't love yourself unless you have self-forgiveness, the ability to forgive yourself. You can't forgive yourself unless you learn how to accept yourself. And so I think, you know, one of the biggest things behind that is just like accepting yourself. And I think a lot of us haven't accepted ourselves because of these ideas of how we think we should operate and shouldn't operate in the world, largely not based on our own conscious beliefs and definitions, but based on sort of the world's adopted beliefs of, you know, personally for me, like I'm definitely a spiritual religious person, but I remember growing up in church and basically being told that, you know, if I commit certain sins, if I do certain sins, then I'm going to burn in hell and I'm going to become a sinner. And from that perspective, it's like, okay, well, if I really believe in that, then there's no way that I'm going to be able to accept myself. There's no like forgiveness in that. And so a lot of these things, whether, you know, you are, you know, a female growing up in a world or in a country, and you're sort of given these certain roles that people around you think you should do, mm-hmm. or you're a certain race or you're a certain religion or whatever it is, everyone has a different version. Everyone's gone through sort of a set of experiences. And so I think the biggest thing is like cultivating a meditation practice so that you can get clarity within and then recreate those beliefs for yourself in a way that they help you in your life, not based on sort of the default that you just happen to be born in and the ideas that, you know, we thought as kids. And so I think that's the biggest thing that that's really helped me and I've learned about that. So thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah,
in terms of anxiety, you know, the biggest thing that I think has helped me is I remember when I was 18 and I had no idea what anxiety was. I had no idea what mental health was. I was just living my life and I was just like, oh, this is just life. Like, this is just who I am. Right. And so I think the biggest thing is a big thing that helped me was just like realizing that it existed. That's the first one. And again, a lot of us, you know, specifically, like, for example, for me, you know, my parents, they came from Egypt. A lot of people in the Middle East don't believe mental health is real. A lot of people in different parts of America don't believe that mental health is real. And so a lot of us just aren't being taught these things because they're not accepted. And that's sort of heavily stigmatizing. And it's preventing us individually from learning about anxiety, what it is, and how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And sort of how to manage it in your life. And it's not some, you know, scary, big, terrible thing until it gets to that point, until we don't learn how to manage it. And so, you know, I think one of the first biggest things is looking at anxiety from three different perspectives. And the first perspective is, I believe that unless you are experiencing sort of some trauma, or your body's experiencing trauma, or you're not in mortal danger, you know, I believe that if you feel afraid, that is your brain's way of telling you that you should go do something. And so I personally don't think it's any coincidence that, you know, I spent my life with, you know, a lot of social anxiety to then becoming, you know, a public speaker and doing all the things that I do now. And so, you know, obviously it's dependent on the circumstance, but I really think that if you're afraid of something, it means that you should do it. And I think number two is when it comes to anxiety and fear, I think it's looking at it also from a biochemical perspective. And so, you know, for me, what I've learned on my journey and through doing my podcast and through writing my book and doing research through my book and talking to doctors, to neuroscientists, to a lot of amazing people, I've learned that anxiety in some cases can actually just be sort of a result of your body not sort of getting its needs met. Mm-hmm. And by needs in terms of your body, I'm talking about your nutritional needs. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about your brain's needs. And so, for example, like I, you know, used to be sort of the average American. I would basically eat almost no vegetables. I would eat fried foods. I'd eat junk foods. I'd eat sugar. I wouldn't really eat anything of substance, really, I feel like. And so when I think about that and the state that my body was in, it's just like, it was like literally grasping for nutrients. It was like trying to breathe just so it could operate its normal functions. And so the second when I started to change my diet around for the first time, I felt like just sort of automatically, because I had never addressed that in my life, all of a sudden it felt like I got like 50% more sort of control over my anxiety. It's sort of like 50% of it all of a sudden became more manageable. And it was just because I was just sort of checking off the boxes of like our very basic human needs. And so if you are not checking off these boxes of like, you know, sleeping adequately, you know, each person is different, but the number is like 7 to 8 hours a day. If you're not exercising, if you're not relaxing your mind and your body, if you're not eating healthy, if you're not just doing like these very basic things, then a lot of the times we're much, much more likely to get anxious. And so if you experience anxiety, that's like one of the sort of easiest things to check off the box. And then I think the third one in terms of looking at anxiety and fear is this depends on your kind of anxiety. But I think if you are able to sort of like look at the science of anxiety, understand it, start to take sort of the basic steps to make it more manageable in your life, then I think the next step is to begin to some way, in some shape or form, begin to expose yourself to this anxiety. And so, for example, for me in social anxiety, in this case, once I sort of started meditating, once I started to eat healthy, what I started to do was I started to just expose myself to people. I started to walk up randomly to people and force myself to have these conversations, to just talk randomly, to start going to events through sort of a reiterative process in a way that sort of warms me up. I remember I would, you know, go in my journal and I would be like, hey, Mark, go talk to, you know, five people. And then I tried to do that. And then I got too nervous and I couldn't do it. So then I had to go back to the drawing board. And I wrote, okay, Mark, ask five people what the time is. And so basically that was sort of a task that was more logical so that my brain wouldn't overthink and be like, oh, does this person like me? Am I offending them? Blah, blah, blah. But it's like, okay, what's the time? And so I would do that. And then I would ask people what the time is. And then what are directions to get to somewhere else? And so I would basically just expose myself to these fears, to these anxieties. And so, you know, sort of doing those three, one, two, three, that is sort of a great, at least general framework, I think, for a lot of people, depending on the different kind of anxiety that they may face. Mm-hmm. And then I think, like, you know, last but not least is just like talking to people about it, reading books about it. I think just looking at the science, like just looking at what the experts are saying, I think that can help a lot too, because again, like I think a lot of us, just because we weren't taught about anxiety, if we face it, we feel a lot of shame. We feel like we're not worth it. But when I think once you look at the science of it, you just get like a more objective perspective of more like, hey, I suck. I experience this because I'm a loser, to, hey, I'm experiencing this because I'm just like a normal human. And there's sort of like this like underground process that's happening. And then depending on the various factors and then my environment, it may affect me. And so if I look at it from that more objective perspective, when it does happen, I'm more able to go from a place of like, oh man, to, hey, what do I need to do to solve this problem, really? And so that's been able to help me too. And again, I think this is so important because, you know, we all listen to podcasts, we all read books, we all do this stuff. But I think at the end of the day, what motivates someone to do something, to change something in their life, has to, at the end of the day, do with like their underlying emotional process. And I think a lot of us, you know, having that shame around some of these things about, you know, not being vulnerable, I think that's stopping a lot of us from being able to, you know, work on ourselves and accept ourselves and forgive ourselves and love ourselves. So yeah, that's like, it's a big, big reminder.
Those are amazing. You know, the nutrition and sleep, 100% agree with all that. That was something I talked about a lot to people when I was practicing. And it always just amazed me how a lot of people didn't know about that. You know, there is this relationship between mental health and your diet, and it's a huge relationship. And also, you know, vitamins and minerals, and if, you know, we need magnesium, and that, if we don't have enough magnesium, that can impact how we feel and can make us anxious. Just little things like that, that I think a lot of people don't recognize that food's medicine, you know, and if you eat well, that can support a healthy mind and sleep too. And this, the whole, the overthinking piece too, that you talked about, you know, I definitely fall into that category. And that's, I think meditation and mindfulness is really valuable for me, because I like to, you know, I really try and detach myself from certain things, and I can get hooked on really quickly to different scenarios. And so that's something that I think for me, having this analytical brain and having been in medicine for a long time, I like to dig deep and I like to research. And so that I think can feed into anxiety sometimes, depending on the situation, where I found that just not overthinking it is something so simple. But training my brain, it, again, mindfulness practices, like 8 weeks of mindfulness can change your brain, you know, these different programs. So I think that's really exciting stuff. And the overthinking piece, I think, gets a lot of people.
I mean, like, you know, that's why I meditate every day. Sometimes I don't want to. I didn't really want to, but I was like, all right, let's just do this, you know? In my book, Scribbling Shy, I have the subsection chapter called The Subtle Art of How Not to Overthink. And one of the things that I talk about, aside from meditation and mindfulness and all these great things, is I think a big part of it and why I used to overthink was because I think at the end of the day, deep down, I didn't trust myself. And so a lot of the times I would mostly see this in social situations, although it did happen by myself as well. And it would basically just be like, you know, I'd be in a conversation with like two or three people and they would be talking about something. And then I would be listening. And then in my brain, I'd be like, okay, what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? But then if I say that, then what if they take it this way and then this and that? And then they would start talking about something different. And then next thing I know, 30 minutes would pass by and I wouldn't have said anything. And I think the biggest thing is just now, it's just like literally the practice of not even thinking while other people are talking, in a social setting, but right. It's just like having the trust to the minute where they are maybe finished talking and you've understood what they said, it's like the art of just trusting yourself to just open your mouth and just say whatever you're going to say.
Yeah.
And if you are someone who is really insecure, anxious, like I used to be, then there's no way you can do that because you're like, oh, I don't trust myself. I don't know what I'm going to say. And so I think the biggest thing is just like your relationship with yourself, both in terms of, like doing what you say you're going to do, you know, to yourself, like the ability to hold commitments to yourself, the ability to, you know, also be able to sort of like lovingly work on yourself, like you're like your own best friend. And so I think that is a major practice because the more you trust yourself, the more you're just going to give yourself the permission to not overthink. But then when it's time to do it, you just open your mouth and you say, and of course this depends. I mean, sometimes you definitely got to prepare, right? Like I'm a speaker and I definitely prepared beforehand. And so I think it's like the right balance of like preparing, knowing what you're doing, but then also not letting your brain overcomplicate that. Because the reality is that there are so many, whether it's doctors or smart people or scholars, who I'm sure are like 100 times smarter than me, but maybe they just don't have the proper, whether it's communication skills or whether they overthink too. And so I think that undercuts sort of a lot of people in their ability to communicate. And so, and I think it prevents us from like, you know, sharing with the world our gift, right? And it has to do with just anxiety, overthinking, not trusting yourself. And so I think if you can trust yourself, work on that relationship again, it's been a common theme of this conversation, that's going to help you a lot for sure.
Yeah, no, I think that's really well said. And what I found for myself, like I don't have that issue with relationships or communication. I feel good about that. But for me, it was more about health related things. So I had health anxiety after my mom's diagnosis, and then working in the field of medicine and seeing so many people sick, I would overthink any symptom, anything. It was like, what is this? Does that mean something? And it was driving me just like, oh my gosh, I've got to calm my brain down. But I think being in the medical profession, I hear a lot of different people who have gone through certain situations like that, where you don't want to miss something either. You have a person come in, you don't want to miss it. So it's kind of what I was struggling with was I would leave a case and I couldn't leave it in the office. I was bringing it home because I kept thinking about, was that the right call with that person? What if I missed something with that person? So that was what I realized for me in that situation. I do a lot better teaching and I do a lot better from a different platform. And the one-on-one I learned about myself, it just was stressful for me. It was draining for me. And I learned through meditation and a lot of different things that wasn't something that was filling up my cup. You know, what was filling up my cup was doing what I'm doing now, you know? So I think some of that just comes down to like self-reflection too. Mm. And just taking the time to really ask yourself the questions, like, am I living in alignment with what makes me happy? You know, cause it was a scary decision to leave clinical practice and start a business without any, you know, business background. But I just had, I don't know, there was something kind of like you said, you had like this knowing like you're going to kind of move in that direction of your fear and excitement. And that's kind of how it's worked for me too.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think the biggest thing is a lot of people, especially today, are experiencing, working, and then you know, bringing sort of their work problems home with them. And I think especially now, because of the lack of boundaries that technology has created, and where, like, in some industries, I mean, especially healthcare, especially being a doctor, I mean, you have to do that all day. You know, like, I, you know, I know a lot of people who have told me a lot of stories, you know, about them, you know, working and studying and a lot of, you know, crazy stuff. And so, but that's hard, you know, because even as an entrepreneur as well, it's, you know, when you're sort of running it, when you own it, there's also, like, that lack of boundaries. And so I think the biggest thing that's been helpful for me in thinking about that is realizing that in order for me to go on a vacation, I don't actually have to get on a plane. And why I say that is because I think the ability to create, like, mini vacations, and I don't mean vacations and leaving. I mean sort of taking time to totally disconnect, to do something, to, like, step into a different world, even if that's for 45 minutes or an hour, or, you know, getting in your car and, like, driving an hour or two to, like, some state park with your kids or something like that. I think that's the most important part of, like, disconnecting. But that can be hard sometimes, because I think some of us don't want to do that because we're trying to be super productive or ambitious or achieve more. But then, you know, if you, you know, it's a balance, right? And so if you try to work too hard, you know, you could potentially burn out, and trying to balance that. And so I think, yeah, like, for me, what I've learned is, like, putting up boundaries. Like, I've been learning this probably ever since last year, where like in 2019, I felt like I was really more successful than I had ever been. And because of that, I had more opportunities coming to me. I could literally sit there on my phone or my laptop and literally work all day. And, like, naturally speaking, that's what I'm more comfortable doing. But I've had to be like, nah, bro, like, at 7 p.m., you're not going to check your email. You're not going to go on LinkedIn anymore or whatever. You know, like, when this time comes, if you can't do that, I think it's just, like, learning for yourself, no matter what that is, how to put up healthy boundaries, whether it's, like, with your phone or your coworkers or people in your business. And so, yeah, I think that's the most important thing from, like, an external perspective that we can do. And again, especially now because of technology and just the fact that we can literally be hustling all of the time, all the time, whether we're an entrepreneur or whether, you know, we work and we're a part, we're an employee. So it's super important to have that. And I think that's going to be, like, one of the biggest skills in the future as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice. That's something that I'm currently working on. I have my board and I have my, like, legit schedule now. Like, okay, this is when I'm going to be on LinkedIn. This is when I'm posting. And I haven't followed it very well yet, to be honest, but at least it's there. And I'm working on being more consistent with, like, staying in that time frame, because I do find myself just, like, checking my phone. I'm like, why am I doing that? You know, I have it. And I don't check my phone anymore after waking. Like, I do my meditation first and stuff, which is really important for me, but it's more like the evening. I'm like, I got to stop looking and checking my email and checking LinkedIn in the evening. It sucks.
Yeah, for sure. And there's so many different ways to like do the whole schedule thing. You know, I know for some people, like, they'll build out their schedule, and then based on who they are, they may get more anxious about trying to live in the schedule and like do that. And that may scare them more. And so for some people, they do things in, like, just very general blocks where, like, they do, like, hey, 3 hours on my schedule. It may not be 100% of me doing this, but this is my time for, you know, creation. This is my time, you know, maybe 3 hours for, like, this is for my kids. This is for, doing things like that. For me, I like doing things more specific, but it depends on the week, to be honest with you. It depends what projects I have going on. But yeah, I think, like, the ability to just constantly have that interest in the first place and just being like, how can I just constantly learn in a way from all perspectives? Because I think a lot of times we end up becoming masters in one area of life, and we lean on that area to give us confidence or to compensate for other areas. And so, for example, like, you know, someone like me, for example, like, what, like, for example, I'll be like, hey, I meditate every day. But then all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking at my sleeping patterns, and I feel like because I meditate, I feel like I don't have to sleep that much. And so I know that that's technically true to some degree, because of, like, your brain and REM cycles. But anyway, I think like being both a beginner, like every day, and just like looking at yourself from like this perspective of like, this is day one, and having sort of like your expertise and like your knowledge and everything you've experienced, but then being able to execute on like new ideas and new ways of thinking each day is a way that I've learned to always be learning about myself. Because I know whenever I've reached a moment where I'm like, oh yeah, I think I know that answer, or I feel like, oh no, I got this down 100%, this works, then I feel like a lot of times that's not true. And so I'm always got to be experimenting, always got to be learning. And, you know, we're all young, you know, you're young, I'm young, we're all young. And so we've got so much more to go. We've got so much more to learn. And so I think it's just that ability to like get up and do that each day, even if, even if, you know, you're a little bit tired, even if, you know, maybe something happened and you're upset, or, you know, even if maybe someone like in your family, you know, gets ill, or whatever the situation may be. I think if we can build in these practices, then, you know, when something in life, maybe on the more negative, adverse side happens, I think we would be a little bit more sort of able to take care of it, and then also be able to take care of that person as well if other people need our help. And so I think that's like the biggest motivation for kind of doing this, you know, in all aspects.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. And I love looking at life with a sense of curiosity, right? We're all learning all the time. But this has been fantastic. I've kept you longer than planned because our conversation was going so well. But can you share where people can find your book and how they can get a hold of you and anything else that you're working on that you want to share with everybody?
Yeah, so a great central place for people to check me out is if you go to my website, markmetry.com. If you want to check out my book, Screw Being Shy, it's available anywhere you can buy books. The audiobook is on Audible. It's a cool version. I had my friend interview me in between chapters. It's like 8-9 hours. But definitely check that out. And my podcast, Humans 2.0, and my LinkedIn, definitely add me, shoot me a personalized connection request. My Instagram, Mark Metry. And Crystal, this was so great to be a guest on your show. And I'm glad I got to be here pretty early on too in your show's history.
This was fantastic. You shared some real gems, so I really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Mark. Thank you so much for tuning into the Live Greatly podcast today. I have a special offer for my listeners. If you enter a discount code, Live Greatly, Mark Metry, all lowercase, all one word, for my online courses, you will get a special discount. I just launched A Healthy Mind Starts in the Kitchen to help give tips to eat to optimize your mental health. And then I have an 8-week course to help you optimize your mind, body, and spirit and attain success. So check that out at www.livegreatly.co. And feel free to reach out if I can support you or your team with any of my speaking services or employee or student wellness packages. Check me out on Instagram at livegreatly_co and on Facebook at livegreatly.co. I'm also very active on LinkedIn. Until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, encouraging you all to awaken your ultimate potential.